When that gold line coffee hit the back of your throat, you got four delicious flavors. This ain't your grandma's pit water. This is gold line coffee, and it is the official coffee of hockey.
All righty, dump and chase and sit on my face. Here we are. Game seven, Kyle. It's upon us. Your antics during game five, the gifts, the horror. You must be feeling terrible right now.
Nah, it's, you know, when you're on the outside looking in, it's just all fun from the outside. But, oh, my God, what a tight series this has been. And you know what? As much as I wanted the Blues to win in game six, I think the hockey world as a whole has been entitled to a game seven. It's been 8 years, Chrissy, since there's been a game seven in the Stanley Cup Finals. And the last time they were there, you know who, it was the Boston Bruins as they beat the Vancouver Canucks and started a riot.
Man, I'll say this is St. Louis. I didn't hear anything come from them. They had 100,000 people outside last night. So once they didn't win, I was really wondering. I was like, oh, shit, are people going to go down? But they're not out, right? So, like, if you think of it, everyone in Boston will be all out. If Boston loses Game 7 at home, I wouldn't be surprised to see another Vancouver-type situation. Those people are fucking crazy.
Well, you've seen them after the Game 5 or the Game 4 loss. Yeah, they were just Bruins fans beating the shit out of each other.
Yeah, after Game 5, yeah, they were beating up each other. And then I saw this other pack of Bruins fans just get destroyed by this pack of St. Louis fans. That fight was like, was like totally foreshadowing how the game went. It was just the final salt in the wound of that guy. And yeah, it's funny to see, you know, you see a lot of these videos now with social media and just the amount of people, like how much money did you pay to be there? Why are you getting kicked out in the second period? Like,
yeah.
Like, are you fucking mental, man?
It's the booze. 16? It's gotta be the booze talking, Chris.
Yeah, it's definitely the booze talking. But
we're not one to judge because the booze can
affect the booze. Hey, we've all been in booze-driven situations. Don't get me wrong, but I think of after I paid $1,600 a ticket, I think I'm going to be a little more fucking inclined to relax.
Maybe tell
the booze just to shut up and watch hockey. But
well, those Bruins fans will have one more chance, and those tickets got to be even more expensive. A Game 7 in Boston. How does this city deserve another Game 7? How does this city deserve another opportunity for another title? And Chrissy, I wanted to say, I was going to say it last night in the middle of the period, but since the Bruins closed it out and won the game, it doesn't matter if the Bruins win or if the Bruins lose game seven. Tuukka Rask is going to be your Conn Smythe winner. I don't see how it can go any other way. If the Bruins win, he's the evident, he's the clear-cut winner. If the Blues win, I don't think Binnington has been solid enough. Jaden Schwartz has 12 goals, but he's gone quiet in the finals. Ryan O'Reilly's been great, but has it really been like outstanding good? He's been excellent in the Stanley Cup Finals. This is an award for the entire playoffs, and I don't think there's a better player on either team other than Tuukka Rask. Win or lose, I think that trophy is his. I've probably got you in agreement here, but
yeah, you know. You know what? He's been crazy, man. Like, the guy's been absolutely dialed in. All this should end all the crazy Bruins talk there's been for years from fans about him being overpaid at $7 million a season, which is just asinine. That's such a great contract now when you look at what Carey Price NHL, yeah. And you look at other what Bobrovsky's going to sign for. Having Tuukka Rask at that number is massive. You know what, Kyle? I think that because of the story of Binnington, I think if St. Louis comes in, they'll probably still give it to him. But you're not wrong, man. Like, you know, they did it with Jaguar the year that the Ducks went on that crazy run, right? They lost and won. I mean, take the Homer glasses off. This is a hockey standpoint. I mean, Tuukka Rask has been by head and above the best player in these NHL playoffs on anybody's team. That's forwards, defenseman, anybody. I think he's been, I'm with you, man. I'm inclined to say he's the best player in the playoffs.
It's the reason they won last night. He was squared and solid and didn't give up. Did you see really, other than that Braden Schenn save, which he came back and made anyways, I really didn't see any second chance opportunities for the Blues. And, you know, give credit to the Bruins, the defenseman. They didn't let David Perron even near the net. They did a good job clearing it out. John Moore was actually quite noticeable. He was doing an effective job. Yeah. And I think that if this is the same mentality or the same type of coaching methods that Cassidy's going to put in game seven, I think the Blues are in trouble. And you heard Don Cherry make the statement that the Blues had to win last night. I said it too. The Blues had to win game six. That was their game. They had to win. Going back to Boston, Don Cherry said, Blues aren't going to win if this goes to, back to Boston. And I don't agree with Don Cherry too much anymore, but I think he's right. All the momentum going back. But another thing we mentioned earlier in the series, another two-day break. So some of that momentum gets killed, gives the players an opportunity to rebound. And that's all the Blues have done all postseason, and especially Binnington. Speaking of judging his game, he had a really soft game. He let in a few weak goals. That first shot he made, or that first goal he let in, was an absolute snipe from Marchand. That wasn't, no goaltender was stopping that one. But that second one, that dribble off the bounce, that was a bad save at a bad time for the Blues.
Yeah, and then, going back there, you were talking about coaching. What a hard decision that must have been for Bruce Cassidy. You got David Backes with the Blues for 10 years. Their former captain comes over, not giving you enough. And versus old team in Game 6, an elimination game in St. Louis, Cassidy scratches him for rookie unknown to start this year. Like, you know what I mean? Carson Kuhlman. And what a player, what a shot that was in the third period. And that whole Bruins second line, just with that kid's foot speed, looked at for the first time ever actually make an impact in this series.
Yeah, the puck seemed to follow David Krejci a lot last night, and having that speedy winger, Kuhlman was noticeable on the ice and in an effective way for the Bruins. Kind of to the extent of like a Sammy Blais. I think he had a hell of a game last night. Yeah. He made a ton of in-close moves, and he was just a hound on the puck. Obviously not the same physicality that Kuhlman brings, but just the speed and skill that he brought to that line. It's no surprise that Cassidy went with Kuhlman over David Backes, but you're right. It definitely has to be a very tough thing to do. Now, here we go. It's a game seven. If the Bruins win, you know, the cup's being lifted. Is David Backes is going to make his way into the lineup? Do you think that Cassidy's going to make any change to get him in, possibly take out? I don't want to say that Heinen's been bad, but, I mean, has he been that noticeable? Do you think they make room to get David Backes in, or do you think he's going to be a healthy scratch again for Game 7?
I think, Kyle, I think it's going to be one of the hardest decisions again for Cassidy, but I think you go with what worked in Game 6. You go with what kept you alive. And I think that has to be the same lineup as Game 6. And I think Carson Kuhlman needs to be there. I think Danton Heinen does a lot for Johansson and Coyle off the puck. I think that that's why they've had success, that line. And I don't see the benefit in taking Heinen out for Backes, unless you're purely just trying to be respectful. Because guess what? If the Bruins end up winning, David Backes is going to come on the ice, and he'll be one of the first guys to grab the cup. You know what I mean?
But absolutely.
I saw a quote from Backes already. He said he would do anything for the team, anything for the win. And he said, if that means that he's got to be a cheerleader up in the stands, he said, give me the pom-poms and I'll start going wild. Like, he'll do whatever he's got to do, whatever they ask him to do, whether it's on the ice or off the ice. And that's the right mentality. And, you know, it probably makes it easier for Cassidy. But quickly, because you don't want to get away from the final too much, but 35 years old, he'll be next season, concussion issues. Massive healthy scratch stints this season. Probably just going to get a step slower as every year goes on. Kyle, what is David Backes? Like, do you think the pride becomes a factor? And this guy thinks about maybe if they get they win the cup here, like hanging it up?
I'm not quite sure. I mean, he's still got a cozy deal for another, what is it, another 2 years after this season?
Not even hang it up, but you know how guys will go on that long-term IR. Marion Hudson had a bad case of the itchies. Robidaw Island
for the Leafs that we used to call.
Yeah, exactly.
Trip on the IR. Yeah, you know, I don't know. I can see him trying to come back, or at least it maybe just given a chance with a different team. I don't think that this is going to be the end of David Backes, win or lose. If he wins, he might definitely be a little bit more accepting of a deal to a different team now that he's won it. And if the Bruins don't, I'm sure he'd want to, you know, give it another kick in the can for next year, especially if he doesn't win. But again, Game 7 is really going to all come down to it. Is Tuukka going to be Tuukka Rask? And let's see what happens here with Jordan Binnington. Can he rebound the way that he has
Yeah, he's 7-2 coming off of losses this playoffs. So.
And he's looked excellent. He's carried his team to wins after a bad game. You've seen that after game three, he laid a goose egg and let in about four or five softies before Jake Allen's actually seeing the ice for the first time all playoffs. And I think that Binnington came back and responded that next game. He's looked calm, cool, and collected. Even though he wanted to have those goals back last night, a few of them, I still think that he was composed for the most part. Let's see what he can do with a clean slate in Game 7. That's going to be the storyline. If he lets in another couple squeakers, it's going to be Boston's game the way Tuukka Rask has been playing in these playoffs. Binnington needs to have the best game of his life.
Yeah, definitely. The thing about Binnington that's funny, though, he's like a really weird, strange kind of guy. Like, he gives me that, like, Shermanator from the American Pie videos theme. Like, he's just...
Oh, fuck off. More credit than that.
No, he's, like, so socially awkward. Have you ever seen him? But, like, if you go through his Twitter account, he also thinks he's the man. Like, I've seen so many awesome old tweets out there from Binnington. Some super offensive ones. He said that all girls on their period should shut up back in 2011 when he was 18.
Well, I mean, I can't agree with what any 18-year-old says at that time.
No, exactly. You can't take it serious, man. But I don't know. He gives me like that. I don't know. Maybe he's more like Finch or something like that from American Pie. But he's definitely kind of dorky, but thinks he's
giving me a younger Jonathan Quick. Just the way that he's able to a lot of goalies stay away from the scrums. A lot of goalies stay away from the antics. The goalies are quiet. Jordan Binnington isn't quiet. He likes to be a part of the play. You see him, he does that play against the boards where he'll get the toe of his blade to control the bounces off the boards in case it goes up a foot. He's got his whole blade there. He's just using the toe sideways. He likes to be involved in the play. He gets into players' faces, little slashes, he does the little things, and that it's kind of reminiscent of Jonathan Quick, another guy who you don't want to agitate or get involved in the crease, or he'll let you know. But some of that stuff, sometimes you think, does it get him off his game? Would you rather see your goalie, calm, cool, and collective, or do you want him trying to get a spark for the team? It's I don't know. It's one of those things. Me personally, I like the way that Tuukka Rask is dialed in quietly. He's not making a lot of noise back there. But, he's doing what he has to do. And you've seen David Perron get in his face, and he's just laughing. He knows that he's playing very well right now, and he's not going to let that shit get him off his game.
No, not at all. But, Kyle, so the stage is set. Give me a key for the Blues to win, and then what's the key for the Bruins to win here? Coming into Wednesday night's Game 7, winner take all, toss up, flip a coin. This has been probably the tightest Stanley Cup final we've seen. Probably since that last Game 7 back in 2011.
Yeah.
I don't, and this is even closer because, you know what? All things considered, Boston's scoring went dead all three of those games in 2011. I think Vancouver only scored like 8 goals in the 7 games. This has been the tightest Stanley Cup final. Take my fandom aside. This has been the tightest Stanley Cup final that I can remember as far as maybe quite possibly ever.
I'd say maybe go back to Pittsburgh, Detroit. Those were close series.
Yeah, you're right.
But not in a while. We haven't, again, it's been 8 years since there's been a Game 7, so there hasn't been any series that's been as close as this. And even then, you were right. That was a really weird final, the Bruins and Canucks. So you kind of have to go back, over a decade to find a series that's been as tight as it is. We've seen that stat on Twitter that this game has been tied 85% of the entire series or within a goal. So this has been as tight a series as I can recall, as you mentioned. 85% of the time, it's either tied or within a goal. I mean, you're not going to find any other series that's as clean and as close as that. But speaking of keys to the game for Wednesday night, Chrissy, I think I said it earlier. It's Jordan Binnington. That's going to be the reason the Blues win, or the reason that the Blues lose. And for the Bruins, it's when this team has found success from their top six, they're winning games. This top six has to be relevant again. Another quiet game from them, or if O'Reilly and company can shut them down again, and you can get a couple greasy goals in like the Blues have done in the games where they've rebounded. They've gotten a couple of cheeky goals. And nothing to Tuukka Rask's fault, but when you see the difference when the Bruins' top six is going compared to when it's not, usually the Bruins are controlling the play. And if we see another Marchand goal or a Bergeron goal, followed with, you know, the Sean Corrales and the Charlie Coyles that are carrying this team on the side, it's going to be a heavy task for Binnington and company. It's got to be Binnington or it's got to be the Bruins' top six.
Yeah, I know exactly. That's the key for the Bruins, obviously, is the top line and their production. The Boston Bruins in playoff games are 25-1 when Brad Marchand scores a goal. So, like you said, if he scores a goal, it's probably going to be a good night in Boston. And like the Blues, you know, the one thing that I'll say last game that they did is their defense were kind of coughing the puck up a lot. They didn't really like to be forechecked. And that's one thing Boston wasn't doing in all the games they lose. They tend to go on this this way of hockey where they just want to carry the puck in and then nobody dumps it and chases it and goes and gets it. And I find that when they've done that and they've actually had the foot speed, like you notice Kuhlman, other than that nice goal that he scored, he was really in on the forecheck, putting pressure on that St. Louis D, getting there, you know, just quicker than a guy like David
Backes.
Getting in
their face, yeah, exactly. Yeah,
being in your face, trying to throw body checks. That's the style. That's what you got to do if you're Boston. You got to keep the foot on the gas and keep the pressure on the St. Louis defense because they are a skilled defense. But they're guys who are good at moving the puck. There are not many bruisers back there outside of Edmondson and someone like that. You know what I mean? Like guys like that on their defense. But like Dunn and Pietrangelo and Bomeister, Parenko even. You know, he's not
Parenko
soft.
Parenko likes to get in there. No, Parenko's a
tough. He hasn't done too much this series, man. I have not been impressed with Parenko this series, really, at all.
I think I don't want to say the word is unimpressed. I think he's played a very good game. Has he been elite? Has he been the best defenseman on the team? No, that's been Pietrangelo. I think that he's been solid, but I don't want to take anything away from Parayko. You know, has he done anything, you know, in the offensive zone? Not as much as you'd like. You know, some of those shots, he's not finding a way to get them through.
He puts them 10 feet over the net.
I think that, you know, his defensive game has been amazing. I don't think that he's done anything to really be discredited, but obviously you'd like to see a little bit more from his offensive game, and I think that's another difference for game seven. If Parayko can get involved in the play, you know, that hasn't been a difference all series. Something's got to budge, something's got to change here for the Blues. Someone's got to step up other than Binnington. You know, he's going to have to be solid regardless, but you know, he can't be the lone hero back there. And it's been such a tight series that you know there's going to be an unsung hero in this game from one of these teams. You know, it's probably not going to be the O'Reilly goal or the Bergeron goal. You know, we might get a couple early goals, but this has got that all written over it. It's going to be an unsung hero in this game. And the question is who. But like I said, I thought the Blues had their chance. I thought they had to close it out in game six. Going back to game seven in Boston is not what they wanted, obviously. I don't want to say they didn't put it all on the line last night, but I don't think they were as hungry as I thought they were going to be. And I obviously, with your backs against the wall, it's a lot different, and the Bruins really felt that buzz. So now you're going to have both teams on the wall. That's why we love the Game 7s. It's going to be a hell of a game. I hate how there's another two-day break between it. We got a big basketball game tonight. I'd love to have the hockey game back on tomorrow, but we're going to have another sportless nights in the making. But, you know, I'm not sure any team is complaining right now for that extra rest.
No, definitely. I think each team will welcome it. And to go back to what you said, yeah, like St. Louis, it's not good that they brought it back. But guess what? Each team is 1-2 at home. So St. Louis has won two games in Boston. Boston won two games in St. Louis. Home ice has really meant dick this series. So
yeah,
if there's one positive to look into for St. Louis, it's that. That being said, you know, you play all season and try to get good in the standings for this moment, right? So, of course, if you're Boston, you're happy to have the home ice advantage. But I do think, Kyle, I think that the keys to success, again, are, like you said, these moments are kind of usually built for like the Justin Williams of the world. And, if you're St. Louis, you're really hoping a guy like Pat Maroon can get going on the road. He hasn't really been too involved this series like I thought he was going to be. And a guy who serially, as a Bruins fan, I know this, always scores and puts up numbers against us, Pat Maroon. He's looked a step behind this playoffs for sure. That's my guy who needs to get going for St. Louis. And on the Boston end of things, I think that if anyone outside the top six is going to have a big game, it'll probably be Sean Corrali. I think he's been the X factor. You know, I'm not trying to say that the tweet that I put out where we were down to the Leafs, that Sean Corrali would come back and the Mud Dogs would win the Bourbon Bowl. But I think if the Mud Dogs are going to win the Bourbon Bowl, Sean Corrali's going to have a big game.
Yeah, I think you're right. He's kind of been your X factor. You've been riding him all year as that guy. And when he was out of the lineup, that's how the Leafs really got involved in the series. The Bruins weren't as deep. They had that hole. But ever since he's come back, he's provided a solid presence on that fourth line.
Well, yeah, because Kyle, there's not many teams that can match. Like, we can put our fourth line out against Tarasenko and them and not be worried about it, because Corrali has the foot speed to go to play the full 200-foot game. And with Achari and Nordstrom, they're both very, very defensively reliable forwards. And just the mix of Sean Corrali's speed and willingness to take the body and the ability to use him in a match where, you know, Boston next game is going to have the last change. So they're going to dictate a lot of the matchups that they want, whether they're successful or not. I mean, they've only got one of their wins at home out of the three, right? So it hasn't been a big factor at all this playoffs. But game seven, Berube versus Cassidy, it's going to be a coaching matchup. There's matchups within it more than just hockey, man. There's a head-to-head coaching matchup, and it'll be interesting to see if anybody tries to play for that next call going into game seven, because both coaches were pretty heated coming into this game seven. Berube was maintaining the team's the cleanest team in the playoffs and the least penalized team. Failing to mention that they're the only team that's ever had multiple people suspended in a cup final before. But and Cassidy, you know, he came out and called it what it was. And I think this was the best officiating of the playoffs, of the Stanley Cup final story. And it's going to be that
news for you,
again,
Chris.
Right?
They just confirmed that the same set of refs from game six will be back for game seven.
I think
that's good for the entire series. I think that last night was the only game where there was nothing blatant, aside from that third goal where the ref did keep the puck in, a nice little assist to the Bruins. But you can call that the hockey gods making up for the missed call in game five. But that's not their fault. It's a fast game. I think that they did an excellent job last night in calling the game both sides while letting the play go and not really having that blatant missed call or something that they let go that really kind of started to let the players take matters into their own hands. I think the refs were solid, and they deserve to be back for game seven, so that's good to hear.
Yeah, I agree. Outside of Marchand getting the same penalty that was illegal on Thursday.
Okay, that was legal on Thursday. Do you think that Bozak meant to do it? Obviously not. It's still a penalty. Marchand had clear intent on what he was doing there. That's why the call was made.
Well, yeah, because they had set the standard that was okay. Why wouldn't you? I would have done the same thing.
It wasn't the same play. It wasn't really, but I know you're going to take that side. It was. Marchand knew what he was doing. The refs aren't going to let it go again.
Of course. He did it purposefully, but he was
absolutely
making the point. Because it doesn't matter. Like, if
it's
I high stick somebody in the face.
Not a play you want to see.
If I high stick someone in the face, whether I mean to do it or not, if I make them bleed, I'm getting 4 minutes. And if I don't, I'm getting 2 minutes, right? It's the same thing. It's the same principle. So for Marchand to go in and do that, I understood it. I understood it, and I think that it's a good thing, though, because I think that after that call, those refs really settled in last night. And I agree with you. I think they called the perfect game last night. I think that both teams each maybe had a penalty they didn't love. But you know what? There was a couple over-the-glass penalties. They really let them play. And game seven, you know, it's going to have to be something obvious, I would imagine. And these refs seem to be more willing to put the whistles away, and putting the whistles away for a game like that, you can't. If you're the NHL, you can't have the refs involved in the game seven, right? Pretty sure that'll be the clear message from the league. And I think this is the right call, and I can't see how both teams wouldn't be happy about this.
Yeah, no, for sure. If you're the Blues, you've been playing tough all series. You'd have to think that this sort of benefits them. But on the flip side, if you're Cassidy and company, and you know that the leniency is going to be tested, then you're just going to have both sides pushing the boundaries, and it's going to make for a hell of a game seven. I hope it's not a blowout. I'd love to see some overtime.
Oh, I puke.
Yeah, I know you would. But you know, that's what we want to see. When you're not invested, that's what you want. But yeah, I'd be watching that game through the shutters of my fingers if I was in overtime. But yeah, speaking of which, it's been 8 years since we've got here, so let's enjoy it. I really think the Blues fucked up not winning game six and letting Bruins get back to the Garden for game seven. But yeah. Again, it's been a bounce back series for Binnington and the Blues all series. So no one knows what's going to happen.
Yeah, we'll see. All the narratives, everything that's happened is out the window now. It's one game. They have 2 days off, and then it's one game for the Stanley Cup. Take any stat, anything, nothing matters. All that matters is in that game, in that moment. Kyle, get the puck out. We're here on full press coverage radio. Want to let you guys know that, speaking of overtime, if you're going to try any coffee in this world, be sure that it's Goal Line Coffee Company. Just put the brand new website out because they couldn't even handle all the coffee orders, Kyle. That's goallinecoffeecompany.ca. Overtime, warm up, coffee night in Canada. All these flavors are so good. Make sure you check them out, and make sure you follow us on Twitter at GTPO_hockey and the same tag on Instagram. Kyle, thanks for stopping by, buddy. We have a big game seven, and please, if Boston goes down early, please just stop. Keep doing what you're doing. You just can't help yourself, and it's done nothing all playoffs but really backfire. So if the Blues get an early one, buddy, I'm hoping I get the Mean Girls My Year gift back and all that, because it's done nothing but wonders for me, and I really appreciate all you've done for this incredible run that I've been on this year.
Wouldn't happen any other way, my friend.
All right, guys, well, make sure you keep your stick on the ice and your cock out your pants. This has been Chris and Kyle for Get the Puck Out on Full Press Coverage and Full Press Coverage Radio. Thank you.